Welcome to the Next Regeneration Podcast by the Osteology Foundation. We feature hot topics and novel perspectives, always with relevance to the dental career and practice. Join our hosts, Anina and Elena, as they speak with new guests from around the world each month and learn more about what's important for the next generation in oral regeneration.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Next Regeneration Podcast. Today, we are going to touch another extremely relevant topic because we are going to discuss about the opportunities and challenges of women in the dental career. As you all know, the problem of underrepresentation of women in some fields of endeavor, especially in positions of leadership and power, is not something unique to clinical dentistry or dental education or dental research. But I believe this is something that deserves to be discussed and properly addressed, also to create some sort of awareness. And today, our guest is one of the bright examples that women can be successful as much as men, also in the dental academic and clinical field. Right, Anina?
Yes, absolutely, Elena. And also welcome back from my side. Today, we are very lucky to have with us Martina Stefanini, who is currently a researcher at the University of Bologna, and one of the greatest experts when it comes to soft tissue management around teeth and implants. And we can really say that Martina is currently one of the most influential women in the field of periodontology, and she has presented her work on all main international stages. Welcome, Martina. It's a really great honor that you are here with us today.
Thank you. Good morning. I'm really glad to be here with you today. And I really thank you for your kind introduction and for your word. I think I have the chance to do a work that I really like it. And so I think that this is one of the most important aspects in our profession. And in order to find the right balance between family and work, passion, I think this is the secret, maybe.
Yeah, I agree. So welcome also from my side, Martina. It's very, I'm very glad that you are with us today. So obviously, you know, Martina, you are amongst the group of women that in a way made it in the dental field. And this is obviously why we invited you today, because I truly believe that young female colleagues can look up at you, at your example, and get inspired to follow your pathway. But unfortunately, we should also recognize that, you know, in certain fields, and maybe periodontology and implantology are amongst those fields, women sometimes face more challenges than men. And for instance, I was reading some very upsetting statistics that unfortunately, women still represent just approximately 33% of researchers, and that only 11% of senior research roles are held by women in Europe. So my first question is, how did you manage to overcome these numbers and be somehow the exception? So what made your pathway so successful, Martina?
I want to add also some numbers, because you reported the number in the research field. But for example, if you look at the number of the active member of the scientific society in our field, for example, in the periodontal society or in the implant academy in the world, the number are more or less the same you reported for the research. I want to do an example. For example, for the Italian Society of Periodontology, we are more or less 120 active members, and I think we are only 10 women.
Oh my God.
So, yes, exactly. And even worse in the implant field. So I think that we are really underrepresented. But I'm quite optimistic, because on the other side, if I look at the undergraduate student, nowadays we are more female than male. In the last admission test we had for the application for the dental school in Bologna, we have, let's say, between 60 and 70% of the applicants that were women. So I'm pretty sure that in the future, things will naturally change.
Yeah.
Yes. I think, it is really motivated what you say, because it seems so that in the future it will change, or
yes,
hopefully in future the numbers will be changing.
Definitely. What happens to my career was, let's say, by chance, never was planned at the beginning. At the beginning, I decided to study dentistry because my father is a dentist, my uncle is a dentist, my grandfather was a dentist. So my pathway was already decided and was an heritage, let's say. But I'm the first woman also in my family to be a dentist. So this is also another honor, let's say, for me. And then I decided to focus my post-graduate studies on Perio, because I had the chance to meet my mentor, Professor Duchelli, and I started to be involved in periodontal department with him, and then we started with research. But in my mind, there was only the willing to learn from him, to learn from a master. But then every year I started to be more involved, and my passion grew up every year. And again, I think that this was the way that led me to this pathway of, let's say, success. I don't want to say success, but it's
it is
career.
Yes, and just another question, and it's quite similar to what Anna already was asking. Do you think that the lack of support, and you also mentioned it, and the proper mentoring maybe is one of the reasons why women are increasingly populating the faculty of dental schools, but as we said, are underrepresented among the senior faculty, chairs, and deans? So what are your thoughts about that? And what was your experience with your mentors? You already mentioned it. Did you feel adequately supported? Or what is...
Yes, I can tell you that in my experience, my mentor supported me a lot. But the problem is that it's still difficult for the common mentality to understand that for women... in somehow it's different, because we have to find the right balance with family. And at work, I was treated as a male. My mentor pushed me and asked me to work exactly if I was a man. And after the delivery of my second daughter, I had to go to Athens for an osteology meeting when my daughter was only 30 days old. And this was something that's really, for a mother, it's really a sacrifice. Only a mother can understand what it means to leave your small child of 30 days at home and going to Athens for a meeting. So yes, my mentor pushed me in my career, but on the other side, men and mentor who are men, did not really understand what does it means for a woman. Probably in the future, I will never ask to a young colleague who just gave birth to go to a congress 30 days after. And this is the reason why we need to gain some higher position in order to include more women and to understand each other, our needs, and to find the way to be good at job and to be good at home and our families.
Yeah, I totally agree. Actually, yeah, you showed a lot of passion to be able to do something like that. A lot of commitment. Yeah. And Martina, I know that you are also part of the Women in Implantology Network. And apart from that specific network, there are also other important foundations that have created national and international networks to promote the research activity of women. I, for instance, have some experience with the program L'Oréal UNESCO for Women in Science, but there are many others. So how important is it, according to your opinion, to have these networks and to create a community of women supporting each other? Is this really the key to reach equal opportunities and visibility in the future?
Thank you for your question, Elena. It's a crucial question from my point of view, because the Women International Network, for example, was founded, let's say, almost 6-7 years ago. And at the beginning, it was strange, and I didn't know if it was something good or not, because, you know, it seems it creates, let's say, like a small group far from the other, let's say like a ghetto. I don't know the translation in English. But finally, I realized that in order to reach the balance in number between male and female, we need to push female. We need to push the link between women. We need to create a link between them. And once the balance will be reached, we can stop with this kind of supporting and with this kind of organization aiming at supporting women, because we will need it anymore in the future. But at the beginning, we need to be feminist in order to reach the equality and the parity. So I hope that in the future, we cannot speak anymore about Women International Network and other similar organization, but at the moment we still need it, especially because they gave us the possibility to know each other and to create a strong network, because this was really lacking at the beginning. Through the WIN, I had the chance to meet a lot of committed, young, passionate female that I didn't know before, because they didn't have the chance to go on the stage, to be part of congresses and consensus conference and whatever. So now when someone asked me, please help me in finding a good speaker for this congress, I have in my list a lot of names of women that I can suggest and push, not because they are women, but because they are good professionals who really worth to be listened in a congress.
Yeah, Martina, you are absolutely right. And I experienced the same a bit what you're talking about. And yes, another thing, Martina, you travel a lot and you lecture a lot abroad, right? As you said. So when you are abroad, do you happen to see that women are more valued? I mean, you know, because unfortunately, it is still pretty common in scientific programs to see mainly male and a small minority of female speakers.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I don't know if you had the chance to read my editorial on the International Journal of Aesthetic Dentistry. And in this editorial, I told the story of a colleague, a speaker, who was in front of the stage exactly like me, waiting for his lecture. And at a certain point, he asked me, who is your husband here? Who is the speaker, your husband? And I said, no, I'm the speaker. I'm not the wife of someone who is going to speak. And so this was something really, really sad for me, because it really shows that for the common mentality, women are still not at the same level of male. But on the other side, I'm really sure that things are changing. And what I can strongly suggest to the other young colleagues is try to find your focus, your specific field of interest, because then people can invite you based on that, not because you are women, because now sometimes it happens that colleagues that have to prepare the Congress program say, okay, we have only woman, we need to add someone more. And this is not because they really want to invite this speaker, this woman, but because they need to fulfill the program with a pink quota. So we really have to change this mechanism and be the right speaker because we are the good speaker for that topic. This is the reason why, for example, I'm focused on soft tissue management and I try to publish on it. I try to speak on it. I try to do a lot of surgery on that because I want to be the best one on that topic, not the best one, because my mentor will remain the best one. I try to be the best one on that topic because I want that people invite me, not because I am a woman, but because I'm the best professionist on that topic.
Yeah, I think this is a good suggestion also for everyone else that is listening, to try to focus on something specific and, you know, publish on that topic so people will get to know you because of that specific area of expertise that you have.
Exactly.
Yeah. And also, Martina, I mean, you mentioned that before about the challenges of finding a right balance between family and work that probably for women is far more difficult than for men. And if I'm not wrong, you have 3 daughters. Is that correct?
Yes,
oh my
correct.
God. So really
girls power. Yeah, exactly.
So where do you find the time for all of this? I mean, do you happen to sleep as well or not?
Sometimes. I am lucky because with 5 years of sleeping, I'm fine. So I am really energetic person. And this is only because I'm lucky. On the other side, I can tell you that I always feel guilty. I feel guilty at home because I'm not at home, and I feel guilty at work because I'm not at work. So the first thing is to try to balance inside yourself between the guilty.
But how, for instance, do you organize your, let's say, your typical day?
Okay, my typical day starts early in the morning. I used to wake up very, very early because I start to answer some emails before wake up my daughters. And after, let's say, half an hour of email, wake up my daughter, breakfast, and I bring them to school. Then I go to my university, to my periodontal department, and I work at the university usually until 4 o'clock in the afternoon without lunch. It doesn't matter. I don't have to eat. Then I come back home and I spend some time with my daughters because, you know, I have 3 daughters and I want to spend also some time with them. So I need to bring them to activity, to sports. One is a football player, another one's ride a horse, another play tennis. So I want to spend some time with them. And after dinner, when they go to sleep, I come back to my laptop and I work at home at least a couple of hours before going to sleep. So this is my typical day. Different days are the day of congresses when I leave, and I am lucky because the father of my daughters is really a good father who is able to take care of his daughter when I'm not at home. So I have his full support on that. And I have an au pair who lives with us. And Alessia, she lives with us and she really helps me a lot in take care of the daughters.
So, yes. So it's a question of organization, I guess, and also getting help from the right people, as you said.
Exactly. You miss something about private life and personal life and friends. This is something that for sure at that time of my career, I'm missing. And I hope in the future, I will be able to start to do something more for myself, because nowadays I'm working and taking care of my daughters. I hope in the future I can save some more time for me and for my hobbies and for my friends.
It's very impressive, Martina, to handle everything together in one day or in general. I'm really impressed. And now that you are a faculty member at the university in Bologna and you're involved in teaching, mentoring of students, which advice can you give to female students and also to all young female researchers and clinicians that are listening to our podcast today?
As I told you before, I can suggest students and future colleagues to focus on something that they really like. They don't have to be scared about surgery, about the fact that the surgical world is mainly made of men, because if they love it, they should follow their passion. And it means to do some sacrifice, to work hard, and to not only to work, but also to spend a lot of time in learning also after the dental school, because we need to study all along our life in our field, and not decide not to follow some kind of area of interest in, like implants or perio, because there are only men. If they like it, they have to follow their passion.
Thank you. Thank you, Martina. Unfortunately, our time is up now, but thank you very much for having shared with us your story. I hope that all young female colleagues that are listening to this podcast may really feel inspired by you and by your story and might contribute in the future to eliminate all these gender differences that we still face in our field. I agree with you that we really need to build up a network of strong women that support each other and are able to inspire the next generation. So thank you very much for your input and for being with us today.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And I think that the three of us are already a good network. and I'm really glad to have this nice discussion and this opportunity with you. And good luck for your career. Good luck for your future and your family. Ciao.
Thank you so much, Martina. And also for my part, goodbye. And to our listeners, see you soon or hear you soon.
Bye.
Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of the Next Regeneration podcast by the Osteology Foundation. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. This helps others find the show, and we greatly appreciate it. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll catch you in the next episode.